Hey everybody, this is Steve Gibson.
And I'm Sam Pro.
And welcome to this year's episode of Distinctly Digital, a modern recruiting podcast. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the importance of caring about what you do and how that relates to your marketing. Hey, Sam.
Hi, Steve.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's mid-April.
So this is, you know, the thing, like, with podcasts and any marketing, right, that we preach, if you go back to listen to anything we do, be consistent. And you know what? It's hard.
It is. And also, I mean, like, behind the curtains here, like, I am pregnant and been, you know, going through all of that stuff. So it's been hard to, you know, do my daily stuff and then, like, focus on extras and fun things like this podcast. And also just, like, think, you know? It's hard to come out and talk about new things when your brain doesn't want to do it.
Well, and we've just been very busy. I mean, we've been very fortunate to have a very busy last couple months and first quarter. And so we're very, of course, thankful for that. But, it does take away from some of these things that feel like they're extra. So, you know, even us, as glorious of marketers as we are, we understand that things do get in the way of being able to do different activities that relate to marketing that help build your brand. I mean, part of it as well is I've kind of gotten tired of listening to people. And so,
that includes
myself.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's so much advice and so much information that I don't want to contribute in some ways. I don't know if anybody else probably feels like that. I'm sure you do. It's just like, it's just this overwhelming amount of information that is being repeated and by every person. And it just may be a slightly different way, but it's all exactly the same.
It all feels like we had one thought and then put them in different AI generators and then spit out different versions of that same thought. And yeah. Ugh, and, who wants that?
And you said the word of the century.
Yeah. So I
know that everyone now is really interested in what we're talking about because we said AI. I'm going to throw another one in there too. Automation. Oh my goodness. Everyone,
Steve,
everyone,
this episode is going to blow up.
Put the explicit rating on this bad boy because we just said automation. things are getting spicy on Distinctly Digital. Yeah, no, you know, so it's just a lot. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So between that being busy and then being kind of put out on like the whole like needing to give more information, it's kind of put this on the back burner a little bit. But I do enjoy it, Sam. I enjoy talking with you.
Oh, of course.
Especially after the first couple months of the pregnancy has gone by.
I was not a nice person. I'm a good person now. Well, I'm back to myself. Here we go. I'm back to myself.
Yeah, let's not get carried away with like the good person thing. But yes, you're back to Sam. So so it's good. Welcome back, Sam.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on our podcast.
Yeah. All right. So
Should we care?
And this is kind of a topic that came up a little bit, I guess, a discussion we were having the other day in one of our just team meetings about there's a lot of things that a firm can do from a marketing perspective. There's a lot of things that a company can do to provide a specific service. In the recruiting industry, you're finding a candidate, you're playing for a client, they're hiring that candidate, they're paying you a fee. There's the transaction of that happening, which is great. It's wonderful. It's beautiful for what it is. Mm-hmm. But at some point, no matter how maybe good you are at recruiting and maybe even how good you are able to create a connection or create visibility around your brand to drive clients and candidates to you, at the end of the day, if it has become a drag for you or if it has become just a transaction for you and you don't really care about the outcome, it's going to eventually reflect in the services you provide. And it's going to eventually reflect in the way that you're engaging with those clients and candidates. And it's going to make all that marketing, all the things you've invested in, everything from your own abilities and your talent, and it's all going to make that void.
Absolutely. I So in case you've all forgotten, I make content for our clients. So that's like my job. I'm a content creator. And I personally take a hit, like emotionally and like mentally, not physically, but like I hurt when a client doesn't get the success that we're setting out for. Or even worse, if a client feels that they're not getting enough success and they drop our services. I'm doing my best, obviously. So I take that to heart. I shouldn't take it as tough as I do, but I think that's kind of what makes me good at my job, is you have to care. Because otherwise, like, are you just doing this for a paycheck? Because you could do lots of things for a paycheck.
Yeah, and I think the recruiters that I know, the most successful recruiters that I know, that I've spent time with, they take it the same way. I mean, they take a candidate turning down or a candidate not getting turned down on a opportunity or not getting an offer. They take that very, very personal. Not so that they're offended by it, but I've seen them feel the emotional. Mm-hmm. The emotional effects or emotional toll that puts on a candidate. And I think that there is this concept, this kind of idea out there and perception that recruiters don't feel that. And maybe it's because there's a lot of them that I've never met, or a lot of them that are out there that don't. And maybe it's giving recruiting the industry and recruiters as a whole a bad reputation within that. But the principles of being, I think, in some ways emotionally invested or just invested in the success of the organizations you work for and the candidates you work for is such a vital part of what it means to be a recruiter and to be good at what you do. And even part of your business development efforts and just because of the relationship aspect of this business. If you're not building that relationship, either not invested in that loss that maybe a candidate dropped off or quit a client, and now that client that really needed that one hire to really change their business, or if they've had that void for 6 months and it's really affecting the way that they can grow their organization, provide for their employees that work there, if you don't feel that, you don't care that candidate dropped off, they're going to feel that. And then why would they use you again? Because if it's just about the fees and just about getting paid out. To me, that eventually begins to reflect negatively on a business. And then eventually I think it reflects negatively on the mindset and mental capacity to do the job well for anybody.
Yeah. It has to be a partnership. Like you have to care both ways. Like both parties has to care both ways. I mean, I've proofed enough website copy that I can tell you, almost all of the companies we work for or work with us, they want it known that they are a partner for you. It's in like their mission statements. It's in their culture. So if you're finding that you're not living that anymore, why not?
Right. I mean, and you can't just say it, right? At some point, we can say all
you have to live it.
Yeah, you actually have to show it in what it is that you do. And a lot of this comes in from just the generic content that we see about a lot of firms that are helping recruiters to stand out and be successful. A lot of them are portraying this magic wand of approach. And I mean, it just gets, to me, it gets exhausting to be told all the time that I can solve this problem. Listen, we can spend and we can take, all the resources you make this year, we could throw it at marketing and we could do a really great job and we can make that a really great, content plan, strategy, website, SEO plan, all the things that need to be done to increase the visibility of the firm. But ultimately, if that client, the client that we're working with, if that recruiter that we're working with doesn't really care about the clients and candidates they're working with, at some point, all those things are going to stop yielding results. So it's just the need that we thought about was the perspective of how it's so important for a recruiter to be, and then just us as well, those that work with recruiter in any business, but just because our audience is recruiters, to be invested in the success of your candidate and be invested in the success of your client and truly actually care about the results and what takes place after that placement is made.
Great. Well, Steve, that was our soapbox.
I know.
No, but it's like people ask us like, why are you having such a good first quarter? Like, why are things going so well? don't know, because we care about what we do and we care about the clients that we have. And like, it makes me like question, do you not? Like, why are you asking this question? Like, that's a basic thing. Like, do you not care? You, duh.
Right. Right. And I know it seems like a given, right?
Yeah.
But it's not. And part of this as well is too, like, it's just the, and I'm trying to find it. I made a post on this on LinkedIn the other day because it was just reading. You make the
best LinkedIn posts.
Well, my GIFs are fun. I enjoy those. And that's my counter to like not needing to give advice, because I feel like there's enough out there already that, you know, people don't need my two cents. But I did give, I put together a post in regards about the motives that are behind all the content everyone's sharing, right? And mm-hmm. and we're all trying to make money. I get it. But every and there's this big push, and we don't have a lot of guests in our podcast, but like there's this reciprocal nature of, if I have you on my podcast, you're probably going to do business with. And so it's mm-hmm. not that when we're interviewing people, that people really care about who they are, what it is that they do, and like, oh, what kind of great insights they have. They just want their money, and they want them to reciprocate from the invite of the podcast, then to use them as the recruiter within that. And or the same thing from the perspective of a marketing firm that interviews recruiters. It creates a reciprocal nature. It builds a relationship. And all of a sudden now they're going to use you within their business. And I get it. That's what we're here to do. We're here to make money. But then every post, every comment, everything that someone does on LinkedIn, every engagement at a conference, everything that we're all doing is this underlying that I just want you to pay me to do something. And mm-hmm. at some point it grows old. And I think people talk about all these mental strains and like the things that we're seeing online and the way the toll that social media has on all of us. And you know, it could go into like Instagram with the way that people portray their lifestyles and the things that they're doing, their appearance, mm-hmm. into Facebook mm-hmm. with, you know, same things, you know, their family and posting about, oh, I love my husband so much. He's so good to me. And in reality, he's running around on her and drinking mm-hmm. every night and beating the kids, you know, whatever it is that really means. But there's this illusion that we create. And there's also this illusion on LinkedIn. In the same way with people's success within their businesses. But then that illusion of even that people care about what other people are doing, and just the purpose of everything that everyone does is to, and this is going to sound crass, is to get in their pants, essentially, right?
If we already put the explicit warning on this episode.
Right.
So good. It's okay.
I don't know. So, I mean, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just my cynicism. Maybe it just wears on you because it's something that you're on every single day. And maybe I'm the only one that feels like this. I don't know. I just feel like that the authenticity, and I know that's where you got to be authentic.
Oh, yes.
But you got to be authentic and actually be authentic. And yes. not try to be authentic, to try to get underneath the radar of who you are. Like, if you're going on a first date with somebody, and you want them to know who you are, you're not trying to be somebody who you want them to be. If you want it to be something that's a long-term relationship, you're going to be yourself. Yeah. And so that way you can actually get a feel for whether or not it's a match. So the same thing with an interview. Like, yeah, you do have to put on a certain level of professionalism, but ultimately if you're being yourself and being authentically who you are and being able to demonstrate then your skill set and what you bring to the table, it sets you up for a much longer lasting relationship with that organization. And I just think there's this big push to just be who we think that LinkedIn or that the professional world or that the recruiting world wants us to be. Mm-hmm. And ultimately it's not real. And eventually that comes out and then it blows up in everyone's face.
Yeah. Like if you're going to put your persona out there on LinkedIn, it better be the same persona that you've got on, you know, your Facebook, your TikTok, your whatever you're doing, like, because we live in a digital age, distinctly digital. People are going to find, like, if you're like Miss Nice, like, I try not to reference specific people in my head, but like, if you're, you know, coming across as the nicest person on earth, and then you run into someone at the coffee shop that follows you on LinkedIn, and you're just a total jerk face to them, or even worse, being a jerk face to the barista. Like, everything that I've ever seen on your LinkedIn page is now like null and void. I will no longer believe you. And I know that that's like, we don't encounter a lot of our connections face to face. We work in a very global world, but it's still, you still have to be yourself, even if you're never going to meet the person ever.
Right. Yeah. And again, it's a little bit of cynicism, I guess. It's a little bit of being worn out with the daily barrage.
I mean, yeah, you've been doing this a while.
Well, and we're all guilty of it, right? I mean, yeah. We do it. I comment on people's posts all the time. You know, it's because there is a certain level of what it is, what we have to do. I just wish it was like a little bit more pulled back. Like, I saw a post the other day from a guy that I like. The guy, it's a great guy. Cool guy, wonderful guy, all the things you can say. And it was a post about Nike's backlash from, you know, saying that people work from home and it's killed the ingenuity and the products they're developing, and he wants people to come back to the office.
Okay,
which with anything like this, obviously, there's probably the answer to any of things is in the middle of the road.
Absolutely,
right? It's never the far right, never the far left discussion or whatever it is that they're talking about. It's always something that's down the middle. Which, so, but this guy went ahead then to and laid into the concept of, because his audience, he's trying to gain followers and build an audience of how working from home, there's nothing wrong with it, and there's no way that could have possibly ever caused any lack of creativity or any type of progress in what the company is doing. And Nike is just a greedy corporation. I agree. Nike's a big greedy corporation. They're awful people.
They most big corporations are. That's sure. How they got that way.
They enslave, you know, people to make their shoes, essentially. I get it. Understand that. But to say that there's not maybe a thread of truth in that, because for the sake of gaining, to get the likes and to get the thumbs ups and the insightful posts and all the things that are there and get all the love from, because you're pandering to that specific demographic that, corporations, but in reality, and someone that from a firm that is a remote first company.
Yep.
And works in a very creative world, marketing world. We are a marketing agency. There's nothing to me that replaces the ability to be in a room with somebody and just discussing topics, dialoguing, just engaging with each other, brainstorming, just feeding off each other's energy. There's nothing that replaces that kind of dynamic in a creative world to me.
No, I agree with you 100%. As someone who's worked for this company exclusively in the office and then almost exclusively at home, and like just with you in particular, I know so many things we've come up with of just the two of us sitting in the same little area talking about random stuff. And then we're like, whoa, that's actually a really good idea. Let's write that. Like, that's how this podcast episode came to be. We were talking about random things after a team meeting. And then we're like, this is actually a really good episode. We should probably talk about this.
Yeah. And that's why I think that hybrid is kind of the best of both worlds, because you get an opportunity to have your free time, have the benefits there of being able to work, you know, and be able to have a life, which is important. But then you still get the collaboration that's there. I mean, I know that's off topic, but that's just an example of kind of what we're talking about from the sense of like, of being authentic. And maybe that person authentically believes that much that corporations are bad. So maybe it's not a pandering.
Maybe they have very hard opinions on lots of things.
I, you know, as someone with hard opinions, I get that. I typically don't share my hard opinions other than like with a podcast that we did too many places other than like with people I know. But I don't know. It's just a lot that we all have to take in and we all have to try to do. And I just think if we have to do it, we have to go through it, then let's just, if we can be ourselves and that comes through and that allows us then to do and care about what we're doing for our clients, eventually that's going to just increase the results of any recruiting firm or any recruiter.
Agreed. So
that's the moral of what we're talking about. Just go beyond and I know that work becomes a grind. It does. And all the things that a recruiter experiences, there's so many ups and there's so many downs. I don't think there's any other business that's as big as a roller coaster as a recruiter experiences. So I get it. And that makes people jaded and that makes people not want to care. But if you truly do care about the outcome of every placement you make, every candidate that you speak to, every client you're trying to help, that's going to facilitate success.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Great, because even if, the key with marketing and within that and being visible in that is just, if nobody knows you care and you don't get a chance to like show people that, then you know, it doesn't benefit, it doesn't change your firm. Mm-hmm. Because you know, if nobody knows that you're a great recruiter, unless you tell them or unless you give them an opportunity to have a conversation with you and do that and go through that experience with you, you know, then you they're just not going to know. So there is a level of like having to be visible, and that's where marketing, I think, really is and creating visibility is really what needs to be done there. But ultimately, then it's in the court of that recruiter to be able to actually provide that impactful relationship and service that's going to sustain their business.
Yeah.
And that's why some recruiters have been in business for 30 years without a website.
Yeah. Because which blows my mind, but right. Yeah.
But now there's so much noise. It's hard to do that, especially if we're starting out. If you're just starting out, it's very hard to be able to build a lot of those kind of long lasting relationships where it was, you know, when the equal playing field was everybody had a phone and a Rolodex and everybody went to conferences and all the connections that were made there. That's a lot allowed you to kind of cut through that noise. The same thing now. Now it's just, I mean, we do have a level playing field. That's what's great about digital marketing. You know, just because Korn Ferry can spend $1 billion on their marketing doesn't mean that you can't rank with them on a search engine or engage with the same types of clients and candidates that they're engaging with. And so there's still that possibility to be very visible and to be able to make an impact on those prospective clients and candidates that are out there because of digital marketing, because of what's available to us. But again, I think the biggest burden of any firm is to, and any recruiter is to actually care about what it is they're doing.
Yeah. It seems like such a simple concept, but it's clearly not, because not everyone does it.
Right.
And consistently.
Right. Oh, it's going to be, it's, again, just if we think that because we do it, that everybody does it, it's, I think that would be a misconception. I think that would be wrong.
Absolutely. I know that as a fact now, you know.
Right. So
it's just the truth.
But all right, Sam, well, that's our rant for the day. Not
that's
much
our
marketing
rant for the
advice.
Year, Steve.
Yeah, we may not do this again. Not, you know, not much, not a ton of really great marketing advice other than just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing from a marketing perspective, be consistent. Mm-hmm. And then when you have the chance to be able to engage with those clients and candidates, care about it. And that's going to do more for your marketing. That's going to do more than your firm than anything. So,
yeah. And you even have to care about the ones that are like annoying.
We've never experienced.
I've never had that. But someone once told me that you have to be nice and like treat everyone as if they're the nicest people on earth to you. So, yeah. I don't know, Steve.
All right.
I've never experienced that.
Sam, do we have social platforms that people can engage with us on? Authentically engage with us on?
Oh, wait. I think we just like yesterday started a Facebook and a LinkedIn and an Instagram and a TikTok. We probably have a website too.
Yeah, I think it's recruiterswebsites.com.
Well, yeah, that's what we do best.
Have we ever told people what we do as well, beyond just this random like talking?
We
build websites. We help recruiting firms and staffing firms with their marketing needs, SEO, content creation, just a whole variety of solutions. So if you need anything, call us, reach out to us.
Yeah.
And I hope everyone has a great rest of the year.
Me too. I can't wait to do this again in 2025.
See ya.
Bye.